this is the week for many high school seniors when those long-awaited envelopes arrive. Seniors across the country will tear them open to try and find out where they've been accepted and make decisions about where they're going to go to school in the fall. So all this week, we're talking about some of the difficult questions that surround higher education, and we want to hear what decisions you and your kids are facing. Go to college or not go to college? Which school to go to? How to afford it? What your major should be? Give us a call at 8778-MYTAKE and give us what decisions you're making. Choosing college, though, is just one decision. Which college to go to? Another is choosing a major, and there's still kind of an intellectual divide in the country and among our leaders between the arts and the sciences. Here's Apple's Steve Jobs.
Now, the reason that Apple's able to create products like the iPad is because we've always tried to be at the intersection of technology and liberal arts.
There's no Apple degree, though. Bill Gates says he believes college students should be encouraged to choose a course of study that's, quote, well correlated to areas that actually produce jobs. What are we talking about here? Is this a classic math versus arts debate? We're joined by two people now who, if it was is a debate, stand on the opposite sides of it. Brian Fitzgerald is the executive director of the Business Higher Education Forum. He stands in favor of STEM degrees, science, technology, engineering, and math. That's accurate, right, Brian?
That's correct.
And Mark Barlein is English professor at Emory University. And Mark, you are all about liberal arts education.
I am.
Okay, so let's start with you, Mark. And let me put this to you one way. Liberal arts educations can go in a number of directions. The problem that we have with students is that very often they enter college not knowing what they want to major in anyway. So why not choose something that's directly connected to a specific job?
Well, I think there are two reasons for that. One, they are going to spend the rest of their lives after they graduate from college in the workforce, going, doing different jobs, and more these days they drift from job to job many, many times throughout their careers. And this makes their college years, 18 to 22, really a unique and very short time in their lives. And most of the time, this is going to be their only opportunity to engage in the study of literature, of history, of philosophy, and really have a lot of support and assistance from their teachers, from other students, in working through the great ideas and great art and great writing of the past. I mean, they're not going to be 35 years old with a couple of kids. They get home from work, they make dinner, they do some email, they watch a little TV, and then say suddenly at 10 o'clock at night, okay, now I'm going to read the speeches of Abraham Lincoln. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so one hates to see these moments when their ideas are still forming, they're not sure of what they want to do with their lives, they're not sure of their place in the world, to see those years pass without that engagement with the heritage of civilization.
All right, Brian Fitzgerald, you just heard Mark Brauerlein. He's at Emory University giving the pitch for liberal arts educations. You're all about STEM degrees, although I understand you yourself are a literature major. Aren't you an argument for the effectiveness of a liberal arts degree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a false divide. Every good liberal arts college has science and math majors. I think it's less an issue of majors than it is students equipping themselves with the knowledge and skills that employers in the 21st century demand. For example, there's a new Hart Research Associates survey out of 300 employers of various sizes, and the number one knowledge base, 70% of respondents, replied that concepts and new developments in science and technology are a critical area of knowledge. In terms of skills, however, the number one skill is the ability to communicate effectively, or both orally and in writing. The second is critical thinking and analytical reasoning skills. So I think it's, while from a pure demand perspective, there's no question that the STEM disciplines and the careers that flow from them are in much higher demand. Students will have to equip themselves for an entire lifetime of work, and those, and that the best way to do that is with a broad array of knowledge and skills.
Well, it sounds like you guys are kind of on the same side, actually. That's Brian Fitzgerald, the executive director of the Business Higher Education Forum. We're also speaking with Mark Bauerlein, who's an English professor at Emory University. Well, you know, Brian, let me ask you then, if somebody goes and gets a liberal arts degree, I mean, I can't imagine that Apple hires a whole lot of, say, classic lit majors, right? They need people who have that degree in IT.
Not necessarily. I think what Steve Jobs was saying is that the company operates at the intersection of technology and the arts. And so if you are a literature or an arts major and you want to work for Apple, you have to have superior technology skills. You may choose to major in literature or art or theater or music, you know, but you need those technology skills to work on the Apple platform and bring new applications to it from the world of the arts.
Well, okay. Well, we're, of course, this week, this series, our education series, is really about helping maybe high school seniors and their parents make some decisions, since this is the week they're getting acceptance letters home from universities. So, Mark Bauerlein, let's have you give maybe some really specific advice to incoming freshmen to college. Let's say they're going to follow Brian's advice and they want to go into IT, but they decide to go for a broader education. What kind of degree can you pursue that's going to both give you experience in technology and that sort of Renaissance view of the world?
Right. Well, I think that Brian and I probably agree on this, too. I mean, when they look at the most profitable majors in degrees, out of the top 10, 9 of the top 10 were in science and engineering degrees. And so students have to look at their futures when they get out of college. But they also need to consider how important precisely those communication skills are in those fields. Business communication is crucial. If you can't write clearly and read well, then you're not going to do well in the business workplace. The same is true in science and engineering. You have to be able to read reports, to read clinical studies, to be able to summarize them clearly and neatly for others. And so if I were to advise young people, I would say you need to take a lot of courses that involve reading and writing. And a lot of reading and writing in the best materials of our past. But you do also have to take a look at what your future is. And so you have 2 years, essentially, freshman and sophomore year, to do your general education. Fill it with a lot of liberal arts courses. Then you have your 2 years, junior, senior year in the major.
Oh, we're going to have to leave it there, Mark Bauerlein, but I'm sure they'll be using technology all the time as they tweet and text. Mark Bauerlein, a fellow at Princeton University, English professor at Emory University. Brian Fitzgerald, executive director of the Business Higher Education Forum. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So given a choice, which is more important in a college degree, liberal arts or job prospects?
This is Ben from Brooklyn. A liberal arts degree is great because it teaches you how to analyze and have analysis and the foundation of insight. With a technology degree, I never would have been able to become the salesman and organizer that I am today.
Weigh in on this conversation. You know how. 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.